out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 5th of April 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, it's Friday, we've reached the end of another week, and that means we must have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, how are you doing today?
Oh, doing all right, Sven. It's great to be back with you on another Lampshade and Longshanks Friday.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's like a celebration. We got to the end of the week, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be breaking off for the weekend. They look forward to hearing our discussion either at the end of the day or here over here in Britain or at lunchtime over there in America. And we've got an American news story today. Well, really, it concerns America and Great Britain. There's a white American woman. She looks very sweet, actually. She looks very sweet and naive. She has to be naive, because she's been kidnapped by savages over there in Uganda, in Africa. And this is the news story. This is where things stand so far. Ugandan security forces are searching for a US citizen and a local driver who were abducted in a wildlife park, and their kidnappers demanded a ransom, authorities said on Wednesday. The missing people were taken in an ambush by four gunmen on Tuesday in Queen Elizabeth National Park, a protected area near the porous border with the Congo, according to Ugandan police and a government spokesman. The kidnappers held up a group of foreign tourists at gunpoint, grabbed two of them, and disappeared into the bush. Later, the kidnappers, using the phone of one of their victims, demanded a ransom of $500,000. That's 2 billion Uganda shillings. And this is from a statement issued by police. "We strongly believe this ransom is the reason behind the kidnap," the statement said. "Their vehicle was left parked and the kidnappers went away with the key." The kidnapped American is a 35-year-old woman named Kimberly Sue Endicott, police said. The four other tourists were left abandoned and unharmed, and later were taken to safety after reporting the incident to authorities, according to a separate statement from the Uganda Media Center. A rescue party of police, military, and game rangers has been sent to find the abducted people, that statement said. Now, the two things I'm wondering about this is was the driver that was taken with them, was he in on this as well? I suspect that the driver may have been in on this as well. What was she doing over there? Apparently, she was going over there because she wanted to see the gorillas. Well, she's certainly up close to them now, isn't she?
And you know, why did they apparently, the way this reads, I mean, they picked her out but left the other people. Is that am I reading that correct, Sven?
Yeah, that's it. They just took her. I mean, that's why did they just take her? She must have been singled out for some reason. Was she one of the most money?
I think we can pretty much figure the reason. We can pretty much figure they're getting more than the ransom out of this. And I mean, it reminds me of the story here recently, you know, of the two women that decided to go backpacking in the Middle East and got their heads chopped off.
In Morocco, at some wasn't point it? In time. Yeah, it was
I'm
in
sorry,
Morocco.
Go ahead.
It was in Morocco, wasn't it? It was in Morocco. So, again, it was in Africa. I mean, it's just, why go to a place that's that dangerous for a holiday?
Well, these women believe the bullshit, though. I mean, we're subjected to this. We're all the same. Our culture. Cultures are different, yes, but otherwise we're all the same. And don't believe these haters that say there's these difference between races and by extension of that cultures. And these women, especially younger women, they believe it. I mean, they buy into it. And at some point in time, it's like there's this cognitive dissonance, you know, and it's like, well, do I really believe this? But yet I don't go into bad areas. And so some of them decide to take it upon themselves to essentially adhere to their beliefs. And they go over to these places like this, like proving to themselves that it's really true. And reality is an extremely harsh teacher, and if she's even still alive, it's not hard to imagine why she was singled out. I mean, they didn't single her out because, well, we figure she has money. No, they figured, you know what they're going to get, what they've already gotten, if she's even still alive. At this point, she may even be dead. They're just looking for the ransom money, and then they'll get a body back. If she's not dead, they're going to get basically an empty husk back, because it doesn't take a lot of imagination to figure out why she was singled out. And again, if she's even alive at all, what's happening to her right now?
Well, we pray that she is still alive. I mean, kidnapping seems to be, is a big craze for it, basically, over in Africa. We'll see that the police were involved in it. The government are involved in it. But what was she doing there? I mean, apparently at the end of this statement, it says kidnappings in Uganda's protected areas are rare. Queen Elizabeth National Park in southwest Uganda is a popular safari destination in this East African country. And that's a load of rubbish. I mean, kidnapping is incredibly common over there in Africa. I mean, this comes from another report. This one's from CNBC. And it says the number of kidnappings has been increasing, up 30% in Africa from 2013 to 2014 and rising in the Middle East. Although about 60 to 70% of overseas kidnapping of US citizens goes unreported, according to the Bureau of Consular Affairs at the US State Department, last year alone, more than 24 Americans working for companies have been kidnapped in terrorism-related incidents. And yet the news article is saying that, oh, it's a safe destination, kidnappings are rare, but they are massively increasing. It's become a favorite moneymaker by enterprising young Africans, particularly in Nigeria, particularly in South Africa. I mean, this is another report, and this is particularly talking about Nigeria. It says across the country, Nigerians have seen an uptick in violent, ostensibly non-political crime. Further, there is anecdotal evidence that crime has become more gratuitously violent. Nigerians are especially concerned about the upsurge in kidnapping, which affects an increasingly wide spectrum of the Nigerian population. In the past, kidnapping mostly occurred in the south and west of the country, but now it has become a national epidemic. In some parts of the country, kidnapping has become a business, with whispers of involvement by politicians and the police, as well as entrepreneurs in it simply for the money. In the northeast and in the delta, kidnapping has been used as a political weapon by dissidents. Boko Haram, for example, made headlines in April 2014 when it kidnapped 276 schoolgirls in Chibok, over 100 of whom remain captive. And I mean, they still call them schoolgirls. They were of marriageable age when they were actually kidnapped. I mean, they're all wives of these Islamic militants now. But this is telling us that politicians are involved in this. The police are involved in this. And the report of this American woman that's been kidnapped, they're saying, oh, don't worry, we've got the police involved. They're going to solve this. But they're involved in it. They're up to it to their eyeballs.
Putting your faith in the Ugandan police is like getting on an Ethiopian Airlines flight and expecting it to turn out well.
It to land.
I don't know. Again, the naivety that's required here to go along with the narrative. They're telling the story that this has happened. And like you say, out of the other side of their mouth, they're trying to play it down. Oh, it's really quite rare. It's a complete mystery. And the police, don't worry, the Ugandan police are on the the Ugandan police. I mean, come on. We know how these things were. I mean, this is how it works over in these countries. And I guess, you know, you can only go so far with phishing scams and you know, calling up people to try to tell them you're a dead relative that wants to give them millions of dollars. You know, so kidnapping is much more to the point and a much more direct way, I guess, to the cash. But again, you're going to wind up, I mean, like I say, a young woman like this, a young white woman like this, we know what's going on with that. And yet people, again, they feed this narrative to people. And there's a certain percentage of them. I mean, because most of them, they hear this. I mean, you look at people like, say, here in America or anywhere in what's supposed to be a white nation. And even the leftists, even the run of the mill, you know, just your average leftist person that believes they're so not racist and things such as that. And they'll tell you, oh, I believe all the races are the same and things such as that. Still, the vast majority of them are not going to go live in, say, an all black neighborhood. I mean, they're not. I mean, they'll justify it to themselves one way or the other. They just pretend to ignore that contradiction. And so they kind of survive that way. I mean, on the one hand, they sit there and talk about how they believe the narrative. They believe all of these things and they believe that race doesn't exist. And thus, you know, these difference in cultures doesn't exist and things such as that. But on a gut instinctual level, they don't believe that by their actions. They don't go to the black neighborhood on Saturday night to pick out a random black club to go dance in because their survival instinct says, no, this won't turn out well. But for a certain percentage of people, of these people, they want to believe it or they actually do believe it and they override that survival instinct and they decide to go to Africa. They decide they're going to show these races. They're going to show these races how foolish and wrong they are. I'm going to go and be a strong, independent woman. And I'm going to go to Africa to see the wildlife, which would be nice if you could do. I'd love to go to Africa and see the wildlife, but I'm not going to do that because my survival instinct says that's a really bad idea. But for some of these people, they want to cling to this narrative and they want so much to believe that it's true, that they will actually override that instinctual drive to survive and actually go to these places to actually show the world that it's true, but it's not true. And the outcome is most likely going to be very tragic.
Well, I really hope that it isn't, but I mean, you just have to be You really have to be totally brainwashed to think that it's a good idea to go to somewhere like Africa on holiday, because we do hear about these things happening. There are warnings about people being beheaded. There are warnings about Islamic militants. There are these warnings about kidnapping. And yet she's still gone over there. And the next bit here, it says foreigners are prime targets and have been targeted by pirates in the Gulf of Guinea, by militants in the oil patch, and by common criminals everywhere. But now, almost anybody who appears to have the most minimal of resources, or access to resources, can be a victim. A demoralized psyche has gripped the country, with many Nigerians living in fear of being kidnapped. The police are constitutionally responsible for fighting domestic crime, including kidnapping, and the current crime wave with kidnapping undermines confidence in the government's law enforcement capacity. And I'm just amazed that they feel that there's a need there to remind us that police are actually responsible for fighting domestic crime, because that tells us that over there, they're not seen as being responsible for fighting domestic crime. They're the ones that are involved in the domestic crime. And it's not just rich people. I mean, it's just anybody can just be kidnapped off the street. We imagine living like that. They're not after rich people, just anybody that they can then use. And I guess if they don't get any money, then of course they can chop the people up, use their body parts, sell their body parts to the witch doctors, maybe eat them. I mean, kidnapping itself, there's such a long tradition of that. This goes back thousands of years in Africa. I was reading today before we started doing this podcast about the slave trade, and what would happen is they would just kidnap one another and then they would sell them to slavers. This was in the interior, and the slavers would sell them to other slavers, and eventually they'd make their way to the coast, and then they would, if they were lucky, they would be bought by Europeans. If they weren't bought by Europeans, then you know, they could be going into the pot, or they could be slaves to other Africans where they would be very, very badly treated. But this idea of kidnapping, this has been going on for centuries. The actual life itself over in Africa does not have the same value that it has over here. I mean, there's also recently there's reports on Facebook of the fathers selling their daughters, selling the daughters from 5 or 6, 7 years old, selling the daughters into marriage. And it's basically these daughters, it's their brothers and their uncles that are talking their fathers into advertising them on Facebook. And this is today that this is happening. We've still got slavery happening over there. We've still got this tradition of kidnapping happening over there, which is massively increased. I mean, it tells us that there's been a huge uptick in this. And yet we've still got people that think that it's safe to go over there. These people are just the same as us. And I'm surprised that there isn't more kidnapping that actually goes on in the West. Now that we have multicultural countries that are full of these people, we've got the same wording. We've got an epidemic of knife crime in London, and they call this an epidemic of kidnapping. I just don't understand why we're not really hearing about it here, because everything that happens over there in Africa is now making its way over here. Is there any reports of kidnappings that are occurring over there in America? Has there been an uptick in that at all? Do you know, Grandpa?
I haven't really seen anything. That having been said, if there was, the way they do it is when things such as this happen, I mean, it gets play in the local news, but they won't pick it up in the national news. So even if something like that is happening, you're not going to hear about it. I haven't heard about it. And you really touched on something that really drives to the point. So it's like this in Africa. You have all of this, the police are a joke. I mean, they have to remind you the police's job is to fight crime. Really, you know, as white people, we sit here and go, well, yeah, no kidding. But we have to be reminded of that because it's such a joke. But it gets to the heart of why. Why is it like that? Well, because this is the level of civilization. This is the level of culture. This is the level of a quote unquote nation that these people maintain. I mean, again, stepping out of the black white paradigm for a minute, you know, would you feel safe going and say, looking at the cherry blossoms when they bloom in Japan? Would you feel safe doing that? Well, yeah. Well, why? Because Japan is Japan because it's full of Japanese. You know, Africa is Africa, whether it's Nigeria, Uganda, now South Africa, wherever. You have that level of society because that's the level of society that these people are able to achieve. I'm not putting them down even. I'm just pointing out the fact. If you go to Korea, you can look around and see the level of society that Koreans are able to maintain. If you go to Indonesia, you can look around and see the level of society. This gets to the heart of nations are made up of the people. And you can look and see the level of civilization that each different culture, each different race is able to maintain. And that's it. I mean, there's no magic, mystical why. This is what they're. You go to Africa, this is the level of civilization that those people are capable of maintaining. And it's not even a put down. It's just a pointing out a reality. And yet, as we continue to bring them into Europe, as we continue to bring them into the West, you will. I mean, it's not hard to figure out what you're going to wind up with as a result. Now, yeah, even with the massive influx that has come, you're not seeing African levels of this sort of thing. But as you increase the Africans, you will, because that's what you get. It's you have this situation in Africa for a reason, because it's full of Africans. And if you fill your nation up with Africans, you're going to get more and more of this behavior. It's not rocket science. And yet we're told what? We're told we got to keep bringing these people here because their nations suck. Because their nations, the people live in fear because the police are corrupt and inept. And even the people that live there, the Nigerians in this case, you know, they live in fear that these Nigerians live in fear that they could be kidnapped. But when you bring them here, well, that's sad for them. Let's bring them here. But when you bring them here, you will eventually wind up with the exact same situation here.
Yeah, we're not trying to knock them here. I mean, we're just saying that this is the way that they are. You're not going to be able to change them. In actual fact, you could use up all the resources in the world. You could end up throwing them at Negroes and you still wouldn't be able to change them. The Greeks didn't bother. The Egyptians didn't bother. The Romans didn't bother. But for some reason, we seem to think that we will be able to change these people into Europeans. And it's just not possible. What we have to do is warn people about them. Now, if the American government had warned the American people, don't go to Africa, don't go on safari, the chances of being kidnapped, raped, or eaten are a million times more likely than happening in your hometown in America, then maybe this woman would still be walking around. She would be walking around in America. Maybe she would have taken a holiday in Japan, or maybe she'd have come over to Europe, to Iceland, to get where she would have been safe. I mean, I like to bring up Iceland because it has such a little amount of diversity. A few years back, there wasn't even one murder in the whole country of Iceland. And that's because it was still 99.9% white at the time. This is the cause of it. And I don't want people to think that we're just knocking Negroes. We're poking fun at Negroes. We're saying this is the way that they are. And this is the way that they have always been. It's well documented throughout history. And to think otherwise is crazy. To then invite them into our countries and expect them to behave any different is just not realistic. I mean, we see this particularly at the moment in London with the knife crime that they've got there, and all these excuses they come up with for it. They say, well, they don't have enough youth clubs, they don't have enough investment. I mean, what they're talking about is ping pong tables and table football, and saying that it's because they don't have these board games that they can play that they just go out stabbing one another. And it's just absolute nonsense. I mean, white people that live in poor areas, they never had a chance to have youth clubs or play these games or have pirate radio stations like they get funding for in London. And yet they don't go around stabbing one another because we don't have this low temper threshold that Negroes have. They're very, very spontaneous, and they act on their feelings. They act on their emotions. They don't think ahead because it's not possible for them to do that. And when you see them in court, when you hear what they actually say in court, most of the time they tell us that. They say that they just didn't think ahead, or they regret doing this now because they're in court. But they don't actually understand why society punishes them, because their logic says, well, that person, I can understand that they're hurt by what I did to them, but I can't understand why the rest of you are upset about it. It's not you that got mugged. It's not you that got raped. It's not you that got kidnapped. So why are you upset about it? Why are you prosecuting me for this? And when you read the works that have been written by black authors, they call our system of law the white man's law, because they don't see that it's actually beneficial for society to actually follow that, because they're not capable of thinking that way. And that is because they are different. And it is logic that when you see somebody that looks different to you, why would you assume that they are exactly the same as you? Why would you project your own character onto them? I mean, you know, we have the gift of sight, smell, sound, touch. Every single one of those tells us that Negroes are a different species, completely different to us. And yet somehow we've been bamboozled into thinking that they think the same way as us. They have the same conscience as us. They're capable of doing the same work as us. They're capable of maintaining a civilization. And yet all the results of history show that no, that is not possible. And if we bring them into our countries are just going to turn out the same as theirs. I mean, we're talking about Nigeria here. And this woman has been kidnapped in Uganda, but it's exactly the same in South Africa. I've got another quote here. This one's from Wikipedia. Kidnapping in South Africa is a common crime in the country, with over 4,100 in the 2013 to 2014 period, and a child going missing every 5 hours. Every 5 hours, a child is kidnapped over there. In 2004, famous left-wing wet blanket Benedict Cumberbatch and two friends were kidnapped by six armed Negroes near St. Lucia, KwaZulu-Natal province. Benedict only spoke publicly about it in July 2009 at an interview for a book launched by the Prince's Trust and Starbucks. And I find that amazing because Benedict Cumberbatch is a total lefty. He's against Brexit. He speaks out for the refugees. He's a constant diversity promoter. And yet, in his own experience, he was kidnapped by them. He went over there to Africa and he was kidnapped by armed Negroes, and yet it didn't seem to wake him up. I just don't know what will wake our people up, Grandpa. I mean, you've got somebody here that's had this happen to him. He's seen up close exactly what they're like, and yet he still falls in with the diversity agenda and promotes it. I mean, what's it going to take? Them stabbing him, and he's been kidnapped, and yet he still goes along with diversity. Because I think this is a problem as well. I mean, we see that things are actually different to how we're being told, but we just still insist on believing it. I mean, I used to be like that. My experience of blacks is that they're very, very crime prone, but I never really clicked. Well, that's just because that's the way they are. I always made excuses for it. You know, the blacks that I've known in my life, they've been accused of rape as well. And I thought, well, they can't have done that. They can't have done that. But now I think, well, that's just for the power. That's just, you know, what they are like. And yet I told myself, well, that must just be a smear saying that, you know, they're very prone to that. So even when we have this, you know, the reality in our faces, a lot of the time we still go against it because the propaganda is so strong against us. I mean, what do you think of this left-wing cucumber patch bloke, Grandpa, getting kidnapped and still promoting diversity? Just amazing.
It is amazing. And when you bring up South Africa, I mean, there you go. It's a good thing we got rid of the apartheid, isn't it? Isn't it a great thing that we finally got rid of that? I remember back in the 90s when here in America, I mean, like there were all of these Hollywood movies and the bad guys so often were white South Africans who, you know, have some sort of terroristic goal to oppress the poor South African blacks. And of course there was this that was the cause of the day back in the 90s is we got to get rid of the black, we got to get rid of the apartheid. And it was just going to be so great once we did. And of course, once they succeeded in doing that, they washed their hands of it. They walked away from it. They pretended it, you know, well, that mission accomplished. We got that done. And they completely ignore the fallout from it. And not just for the white, the Boers, not for the white, just for the white South Africans, but for the black South Africans as well. I mean, there's been, I remember, you know, I'm sure you've probably seen it too. There was some report, I think, for the BBC at one time, and they were interviewing South Africans. They're talking to this black South African, and he's like, I missed the apartheid because then I had a job and the streets were fairly safe. You know, yeah, that's all gone now. Congratulations. Now you're just like all of the rest of Africa, and you wind up returning immediately to the mean. You know, we had back in the days of colonialism, you know, everybody from Europe, from the Dutch, to all these people went in and colonized parts of Africa. And what did they do? They brought electricity. They brought modern technology. They brought all these things. And then when they left, you have cases where they like stripped all the copper wire out and sold it. And now they don't have any of that. Now everything returns back to the mean. And it gets back to, again, as we both already pointed out, this is the level of civilization that they can maintain. You can come in and colonize it or impose white rule, which, by the way, I think is a mistake. I think history teaches us that's a mistake to do that. But you can do that, and for a short time, yeah, I mean, you can raise the standard of living for the people there. You could make things technically better, but as soon as you leave, things return right back to the mean. Well, why? I mean, they try to blame the thing that actually made things better, the colonialism or apartheid. Well, it's just that way because of colonialism. Well, it's that way because for a short period of time, we came in and made life better for them. No, the reality is, again, this is the level of society, of civilization that they're able to do. And again, these are just genetic differences. They tend to have poor impulse control, short time preferences. This is just who they are. I mean, and I always find it funny that as much as we get accused of being evil racists, we just point out that this is who they are and you should accept it. It is these other people who claim to be the good thinkers who say, no, 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 that's not right. If we give them enough money, if we just do this, if we give them youth programs, they'll start acting what? Like us. they're the ones that are saying, if we just give them ping pong tables, if we give them midnight basketball, that they had that one back here in the 90s, if we just have enough programs, then they'll stop doing this. But what are they actually saying? They're saying they'll start acting like white people. But we're the racists. We're the racists. We say, no, that's who they are. We shouldn't be trying to impose our value. You talked about earlier, you know, how they're just befuddled by the judicial system. It seems completely unfair to them. And in a way, I mean, it kind of is, in that we're trying to impose our civilizational standards, our moral standards upon them. And it's completely foreign to them. It's not their standards. It's that we see their standards. We see their morality in the nations where they rule, their ethnic nations. And again, we bring them here and we expect a different result, but you don't get a different result. As to this guy here, I mean, there's just some people that apparently, I mean, the brainwashing is just so complete. And it's something that people, we're subjected to this, I mean, literally from the cradle to the grave. We're subjected to this all our lives, and most people are incapable of breaking out of it. Now, again, there are many people who, yeah, that instinct, or that lizard brain part of them, that part that's that survival instinct, even for the most anti-racist leftist, that survival instinct overrules all that, to the point that, you know, they'll talk the talk. But again, they're not going to go to the black neighborhood on Saturday night and find a real ethnically vibrant club to go party in with their white friends, because on that instinctual survival level, they know not to do that. But there's a certain smaller percentage that it is so complete that it doesn't matter what happens to them. It doesn't matter. I mean, they'll actually do it. They'll actually go to Africa, or they'll go backpacking in Morocco, or the foolish of them will wander in, you know, to a group of blacks on Saturday night in a not so good neighborhood. And the outcomes, not surprising to us, but apparently surprising to them. And even some of them, as this fella here, you're pointing out, you know, even when they get subjected to the results of their actions, you know, you stick your hand in the meat chopper and pull back a nub, it doesn't, apparently it's such an effective brainwashing program that it doesn't matter. They will still deny the reality, and they'll still go along with the program. It's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me how people can just ignore this. But it is, it's something that people are subjected to here in the West from cradle to grave, this propaganda. And you're seeing a doubling down on it, even in the media and stuff. I mean, you look at the way talking about the way they try to superimpose white culture and white values on these people who, by and large, I mean, there's always outliers, who by and large, though, have their own culture, they have their own values. But yet what, when they portray these people on TV, what do? They make them look like a white family. Oh, well, there's the black family. And why, they're just like any, you could just superimpose the white race on them, or anybody else. There they are. They look the same. They don't ever portray them like is the cultural norm for them in commercials, do they? They basically take black actors and have them play a white role. And it goes back to, again, that these so-called good thinkers are trying to basically say that if we do all of these things, if we just promote this message long enough, these people will start acting like us. They'll start acting like white people. And it's just not true. And it's honestly, it's not realistic. And if you want to throw the word racism around, there's some real racism, that if we just do all of these things, these other people, these other cultures, these other races will start acting white.
That's the real supremacist mindset. It is the liberals that think that they are supreme, and that they can change these people, and that our way of doing things is better than theirs. What we say is they're different. It's no better or worse. By our standards, they are far, far worse. But they don't have to live by our standards because they're not us. We can't project our standards onto them. They are just different. And I just want to remind people, hopefully this Kimberly Sue Endicott, hopefully she's still alive. So remember her in your prayers, and hopefully she will come back to us unscathed. Okay, Grandpa, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much to the listeners for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
Radio Aryan. Dot.